In today's episode, we discuss how to create the most important part of your ad, the opening hook. Next Wave DV is the story of our journey growing Creative Edge Productions from a tiny studio in my basement to one of the leading video marketing agencies in the Midwest. So join us on our continuing mission of mastering video marketing. Welcome back to the Mastering Video Marketing Podcast. I'm Tony Rielli.
And I'm Ben Carlson.
And last week we talked about our secret formula creating the ultimate social media ad.
Yeah.
And so definitely watch that because we really break down the main kind of modules that we go into when we create an ad. But there's so much, and even though the episode ended up being about 30 minutes long, we still, there's so much more to talk
about.
There's
a ton, yeah.
So today we're going to break down the first of those steps, the first of those modules, which is the most important, absolutely the most important.
Yeah.
And that's the hook. The hook is like the headline of your ad. It's like the main thing that is going to tell people what they're about to watch, why they should watch it. And there's so many necessary steps to creating a good hook.
Yeah.
And then also just understanding what is necessary for a hook or how to approach a hook, how to understand a hook.
Sure.
You know, we've talked about many times, but like I feel like the biggest mistake either advertisers or businesses make when they are trying to create a social media ad is just either undervaluing the hook or not even thinking about it. Not approaching it, not understanding it, just not thinking about the hook at all. So fundamentally, we say that if you were to break down the hook into the most basics of understanding, the hook needs to do two things. The hook needs to stop the scroll. It needs to, you know, get my attention. You know, you got to think, we talked about, you know, how like on YouTube ads, like they've got that skip button, but you got to wait at least 5 seconds to hit the skip button.
Yeah.
In social media content on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, any of those platforms where they're basically a scroll-based feed, you know, you don't even get that mandatory 5 seconds. People can scroll right past it. So the first 2 seconds, first 3 seconds are vitally important.
Yep.
I mean, just stop and think about the last time that an ad popped up in your feed and you saw that one frame or the half a second of it. Did it catch your attention or did it not catch your attention? Did it look too basic? I watch some of these ads that are out there and the concept isn't bad.
Yeah.
But it takes me a few five seconds to get into whatever the ad is talking about.
Sure.
And if I see that, even that first frame, that first half of a second, if it doesn't catch my eye or, make me interested in it, I'm not sticking around for the rest.
I find, especially when I'm on TikTok there are three categories of sponsor content. There's one where it's like, you don't even have to see the sponsorship, your sponsor post below to be like, I'm done. Like, this is too salesy. This is clearly not something I'm interested in. Then there's another one where it's like, oh, this is really interesting. Oh, this is really good. Oh, it's sponsored. You got me. That was, and then it's skip. My favorite are the ones though, where the video is so good. I see the sponsored down below and I still keep watching. And there have been a handful. It is a very special skill. So what do you think it takes to create that ad that is engaging, that even if people do know it's a sponsored or a boosted post, they know it's an ad and they still want to be involved. They still want to, and what kind of secret sauce or what do you use to drive that engagement?
Well, I think a big part of it is to make the content interesting and engaging and valuable to the audience. Understanding the platform and user habits. If you're creating an ad for like TikTok, for example, you know, people are looking, there's a type of content that they're there browsing.
Yeah.
So if the content is too disparate from that type of content that they're already watching, it then sticks out like a sore thumb.
Sure.
To the point where people will ignore it. You know?
And
so it's like, think of like reading a newspaper article and you don't buy the newspaper for the ads.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want coupons or something like that. But you're typically buying the newspaper for the articles, the information that's in there. So an ad stands out very vividly. Mm. Now, a good ad can still be valuable and interesting and you might still look at it, but it's visibly stands out. Mm. Now, on a newspaper, you don't scroll past it or, you know, you'll turn the page or whatever like that. But if the content that you want to read is still there, that's fine.
Yeah.
On social media, you're on TikTok, you know, you're watching, you know, usually user generated content. And if an ad suddenly gets in the way of that, you're like, get out of my way.
Yeah.
So typically ads like on TikTok that perform well are going to be ones that are, that match that format, that sure. are like, so like a lot of times you'll see user generated content like yeah. that. But fundamentally, you know, it doesn't always have to be user generated content. It can still be an engaging and interesting ad, but usually it needs to then meet a demand or a need that the audience hopefully has sure. and is that, you know, that qualifies them. So that's where we say that like so we talked about the number one thing that Hook needs to do is stop the scroll. The number two thing that it needs absolutely has to do is qualify the audience.
Yeah.
It needs to get, you know, get the right people to stop and look at it. You know, you look at us, like we're a video production company, a video marketing agency, and we're looking for businesses that have a decent enough budget that they yeah. would be able to work with us, be interested in working with us, that we can help to grow their business. If they don't have enough budget, then it's just going to be hard for us to do all the services that we know that we need to do in order to accomplish a great goal.
Yeah.
So we can't help the average mom and pop shop to do the full services that we want. So we have a target demographic that we're going after. So if our ads are not doing a good enough job of qualifying that person, we could get 1 million views on an ad
yeah.
Or on a video and be like, this is great.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't convert or it doesn't reach the right target yeah. audience, it's still not a good ad. All yeah. you're doing is spending a bunch of money just to get a bunch of views.
Yeah, and take that a step further. Even if it does convert and it brings in the wrong people, you're actually now wasting more money, more resources, and being less effective in it. I'd rather not talk to non-qualified people. Like if they're absolutely not the people that are going to buy, and I know there's going to be people that are commenting where it's like, oh, anyone can be a customer. Maybe. But if you're selling a $10 million project, you're probably not going to talk to someone who has $500 in the bank. And that's okay. You know, we run across that a lot in ours with our Video Pathfinder where we, you know, we say, hey, if you can't afford our services now, take all our free content. And then once you get to a point where you can't afford us, great, we'd love to work with you. But in the meantime, so it's okay to qualify your...
Which is a great plug for the Video Pathfinder webinar. If you haven't checked it out already, it's a free course, 38 minutes long, to guide your business into creating a healthy, effective social media strategy. And we talk a lot about our ad creation process in there as well. So videopathfinder.com, completely free to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
To your point, yeah, that's what why we create our free content and our content marketing is for the businesses or the people that, you know, there's kind of two core audiences that we're aiming for with this is there are going to be businesses that can afford us. And so we're creating content for them to get to know us, know we exist and help solve their problems. So then they're familiar with us, yeah. you know, the whole mere exposure effect where the more you see something, the more comfortable you are with the idea of the thing so that when you're ready to buy, you know, again, when you're driving down the block and you see Starbucks, and you're looking for coffee, you're familiar with Starbucks. Mm. You know okay. But if you see random coffee company, like, are they good?
Yeah.
I've never heard of them before. So just the frequency and familiarity with the thing can shift your sure. interest in your buying patterns.
Yep.
But yeah, going back to like the audience of who we're putting content out for there, it's the people that are currently able to afford us and then the people that maybe not aren't yet.
Yeah.
And so we hope that they can watch our content and eventually grow into being an audience that potentially maybe if they can use our free stuff, grow their business, and now they're doing so well that they need extra help and they can work with us. So that's kind of that free content marketing. But when it comes to paid ads, you really want the right people
Correct.
To be showing up. You don't want just people going, hey, look, give me the free stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because you're paying for this. You're paying for ads. You want the right people to stop. So qualifying your audience in the hook is really important. A lot of times, you know, we're in the Green Bay, Wisconsin market, and we'll just do something as simple as, hey, Green Bay. We do that a lot in our ads, and we found a lot of success from that just to have that starting off. So then people are going, oh, this is an ad for Chicago
right.
or for, you know, a different area. It's really calling you. If you're in the Green Bay area, this is a business. This is a service. This is a thing that exists in the area. We do it for the arcade. We do it for spas that we run. We've done it for so many different businesses, and just that little "Hey, Grebe May" catches people's attention a lot. If you start looking for ads, you might see, are you an agency owner? Are you a, you know, are you a mom? Are you
if you're Taylor Swift, this video is for Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift only. If you're not Taylor Swift, keep on scrolling.
You're not allowed to watch.
Yeah. And you know what? So what's brilliant about that is one is like, oh, what are they going to say to Taylor Swift? But two, they've now taken 3 to 5 seconds to qualify. Now they have 3 to 5 seconds of viewership, and their viewership time just went up. So it is a great way, even if they aren't interested, that is often enough times to stop the scroll to get them, oh, I'm in Green Bay. Oh, no, this isn't necessarily, which is fine because that's going to show more engagement and that's going to feed the algorithm more. So that's exactly what you want.
So I'll say right now, this video isn't going to be about like, here's the latest trends or whatever like that, because those are constantly changing. Yeah. I know one popular one right now is, you know, like TikTok made me buy it. Or, you know,
sure.
Though that opening hook has been popular for a while. Well, will that last? Who knows? Yeah. But the philosophy is what we really want to focus on. We want you guys understanding, like, this is how to approach your ad creation. This is how to how to think in the correct mindset so that when you're writing your copy and when you're developing these hooks, because it's the most important thing. Keep going back to it. This hook is so vitally important. That first frame, that first, because we say video ads are the most effective content out there. The one thing that still ads have going for them that video ads don't is that you see the entire ad instantly.
All at once.
You scroll up, there's that picture, that's all you get.
Yeah.
And so that's it. You're like, if I'm interested, it's that image is now qualifying me 100%. A video ad that first half a second, that first frame, that might be the only thing that the people see. So that has to be engaging and interesting and qualifying at the same time.
Absolutely.
Even to that, hey, Green Bay, sometimes I have that on the first frame, or I even have the hey, and then Green Bay happens like a split second in.
Yeah.
Like those little things make a huge difference. And how you approach it, as again, we've talked about so many times, when you watch a standard TV ad, it might take 5-10 seconds for them to get to the point where the interesting thing is happening.
Yep. And they can get away with it. Yep.
Cannot approach your social media ads in the same way.
Correct.
They will perform horribly. And then you'll be like, why don't social media ads work? I guess this is a bad place to do advertising.
And so this is also for companies out there that are looking to do advertising. If you're going through a traditional agency, that is something to ask them. That is something to watch out for, because a lot of times they don't have that expertise in social media copywriting and TV commercial copywriting. And so asking those investigative questions, like how soon can we, like, is this going to be effective on both, or which one are we really targeting, can help you really determine where your marketing dollars are going and be a lot more intentional and get a lot better ROI for it.
Yeah. And an example too, in that same context, is where there's an ad campaign that we just started working with a client on. And they were just doing some comedy ads where it's for a IT company. And we were talking about, like, okay, these ads, we're shooting them, you know, they're kind of in a Mac versus PC style, but kind of updated and refreshed. And we're doing it in our, if you guys have seen the previous episodes of the Next Wave TV and Mastering Video Marketing podcast, you'll see our previous, or the studio is still there. It's on the other side of this wall here. But we use that one, for other podcasts. And then we use it as a kind of a techie background for this IT company. So instead of a cyclorama or white infinity curve, we use this look. And so these ads, they're going to be consistent. They're going to have a similar visual look, which kind of helps brand it for consistency. But at the same time, we don't want it to feel too samey. We don't want to be like, I've already seen this ad. And it's a different one. We did a 6-ad campaign for it. So one of the ideas we had is just to have the title of the ad quickly show up for like a second over the top of it. So the overwhelmed IT guy, or the not my job guy, or whatever. Like, so that the idea of the campaign, we came up with a title. So then that even is the hook.
Yep.
When you see not my job popping up over the screen, it's like, okay, well, what I got to see this, you know?
Yeah.
So having something like that where the text could be there, or the first line, or the first, you know, word is just interesting and engaging and catching their attention and wanting them to qualify them and stop them in that process.
Now, Tony, do you think there's ever going to be like creatives that are like, wow, my visuals are creative enough. I don't need text. What would you say to someone that...
They certainly can be.
Sure.
But that is even more important. If, you know, that we say the picture, you know, is worth 1,000 words. But at the same time, we want to be making sure that 1,000 words is a lot of words.
Yeah.
The idea behind that is like when you're creating good headlines, think of a billboard.
Yeah.
Think of the worst billboards you've seen where they're filled with paragraphs of text and every possible service that the business offers.
This is actually a game we play because we've been traveling quite a bit the past few months, and it's like, how bad of a billboard can you be? Or like, can you read that? And how close do you have to be before you can actually
read the billboard? I swear, like, okay, if you're at all do billboard design, do me a favor. Design your billboard and then shrink it down on like Photoshop or InDesign or whatever you're using it for, and then take a couple steps back. Yeah. And that's what 90% of people are going to see it as. You don't get the full-size billboard until you're like 2 seconds away from it, and then you can't read the whole thing.
Right.
So typical billboard philosophy is 7 words or less. 7 words or less. That is how you want to approach your billboard design.
Yeah.
Not a paragraph of text, not every social media platform that you're on, 7 words or less.
Yeah.
And if you're listing off, you know, like hotels, like here it's $150 nights a stay, dollars a night, and it's we have a sauna and a pool and, you know, workout
center. Free color TV.
Yeah, internet, all the things. I'm like, gosh, nobody's has a chance to read that.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about color and legibility. Yeah. I'm just talking about the amount of text that you cram in there. So going way back to your question, picture's worth 1,000 words, making sure that there is clarity in that imagery. Yeah. If the imagery is going to drive it, we always say the confused customer never buys. So if there's not clarity in what they're seeing instantly, that's why sometimes words or text can add that clarity.
Correct.
So it's like, oh, okay, this is like in the ads we were shooting yesterday, we want to make sure this is aimed at IT, the businesses that need IT services. So are we making sure, is this clear? We had a guy that one of the comedy ads is he's wrapped up in network cables, and the implication is that he's the IT person at a company. And it's just he's struggling to keep up with the needs of the company. And so the client, our client, that can help and step in and help them. But even just simply with all the cables, the line of dialogue that we had in there was, man, I swear these cables are conspiring against me. We stopped and we said, let's just throw a network in there.
Yep.
These network cables are conspiring against
me.
Just that extra little thing to make sure that there's clarity. It's not just that he's randomly coiled in rope or something like that. This is a networking thing. Just those little tiny bits of clarity help indicate, okay, this is the audience that we're going after. These are the types of people that we want to stop, to be interested, and to continue watching. Because both from an ad performance, there are two main things that happen when you do that well. First of all, you are going to obviously hopefully get a better conversion rate because you're getting people that stick around, the right people that are sticking around, especially again when you're spending money on ads.
Right.
You don't want to be wasting money on ads.
Yeah.
But the other thing is like when you're on platforms like Facebook and Instagram, the algorithm is learning who is going to respond to your ad. So if you're doing a good job of qualifying your audience at the ad level, the algorithms have gotten really, really good. We used to pour over audience creation for a long time. You don't have to do that as much anymore. You can let the algorithm run it if the creative is doing a good job of qualifying. If it's not, then you gotta spend a ton of time really refining your audience in the back end of the platform. But if your creative is doing a great job of qualifying the audience, you can let the algorithm learn. There's a learning period that it goes through. And then once you have that, then that can be your audience. Now you can do lookalike audiences. There's other ways to approach that, and we'll probably do a video talking about that. But fundamentally, if your ad is qualifying your audience well enough, it'll reduce your ad spend cost and it'll help the algorithm learn it better so that it's putting it in front of the right people more often.
Man, once more for the people in the back. That's exactly it. That's the crux of it. So I hope you're able to take this, implement it in some of your new ad creation. And if, you know, feel free. If you have any questions, comments, you want to just yell at someone, just let us know right down there. Click subscribe and thank you for watching.
Yeah, and tune in next week. We're going to talk about the part two of this. So we're going to continue down and really kind of elaborate on each of these processes. So thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
See you.